Let's open our Bibles, if you might, this morning to Hebrews chapter 12. And reading from verse 25 to verse 29. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. The gracious Father, we reverently, Lord, and humbly approach thy throne of mercy this morning, believing, Father, that you are here wrapping up your time on earth, wrapping up the Gentile dispensation, and getting your elect ready for the going home. Father, we commit ourselves to that getting ready. And we would ask, Father, that when you would leave, that you would take us with you. And now we commit our thoughts to thee, our hearts to thee, our minds to thee, our actions, our lives to thee. And especially this word we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. What does that mean? Ron.
We better thank him than what we hear.
Sure, why? What's he say here? For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Absolutely. When God came down in this hour, veiled in that cloud, veiled in the pillar of fire, he was not the cloud. He was not the pillar of fire. But that was Elohim coming forth and manifesting himself as Elohim, the sovereign God, the self-existent one. And he came demonstrating the attributes of Jehovah. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Rapha. The seven compound names of Jehovah. And he said, if we turn away this time, there's nothing left. There's no way of escape. These words are somewhat heavy. Last night as I studied, and this morning again, to continue what we were talking about last night, I saw that Brother Branham did not take the third pole lightly. He had many dreams, many visions about it. But the one thing is, the Lord said, this time, you've explained the first pole, you've explained the second, don't explain the third. But it'll be to the totally lost. But it'll be for the elect. Now, with reverence toward God's word, I would like to examine some of the things pertaining to this subject. But not having, and not being able to, because it wasn't given to me, I'm not a prophet, I can't tell you anything more than what Brother Branham told us. But he said it's been thoroughly identified. The problem is, when I go across and look at many of these scriptures, many of the quotes that Brother Branham explains, In some of them, he said there were some people who cried out. They cried out for God. And he said it was too late. It's too late. If you get a chance, we've got the tapes in the back. You've got them at home. Examine souls in prison now. And also looking away to Jesus. Brother Rand spoke more about the third pole in those two messages than any other message. He said, could it be that it's too late? We find in Acts chapter 13 in verse 41, Paul says there's a ministry coming. This ministry will declare, it will declare the presence of God among you, but the people will reject it. Behold, he says, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. So these people will be wondering as they're perishing. For I work a work in your days. Who's the I? Is this Paul working a work in their days? Or is it God speaking through Paul? For I will work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. So there will come the ministry of God to the people. It will be declared by words through a man. This ministry will do wonders, perform wonders. He'll do a work, and the people will sit there and reject it. Last night we examined Romans 5, verse 1 to 2. And we spoke on the subject of grace wherein we now stand. And we examined this grace which we have access by faith. And not just any faith will give us access to this grace. But the faith that Paul is speaking of is the faith of the Son of God. And this is what gives us access to the grace wherein we now stand. He said, therefore being justified by faith. Therefore, being justified by revelation, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't have peace with God, it's because you haven't the revelation. There's only one revelation. There's only one Lord, one faith, which is revelation, one baptism. And if you don't have that revelation of that one Lord, you'll never have peace with God. In the days of Noah, Noah preached 120 years to the totally lost. He tried to convince, convict. He was a preacher of righteousness. But Noah's third pole, Brother Ram said, was after God shut the door. He then preached to those people who could not enter in. And those that were in the ark could not leave. We have access by faith, by revelation, into this grace. Noah had access by revelation to build an ark. He had access into that ark by revelation. Those who did not have that same revelation as Noah perished. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we now stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, which is an earnest expectation. And this earnest expectation maketh not ashamed, because you're earnestly expecting, you're willing to do things that you normally wouldn't do. And this hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. In our examination of the trials and how distress and trials are meant to produce in us or enlarge in us whatever is already in us, we found that the only way we can have peace with God is knowing that when the trials come, it's because they're ordained by God to come and to work in us His purpose. If you've been born again, when the trials come, you'll become gentler, humbler, more pious, and more self-effacing. But if you're not born again, if you're an angry person, when the trials come, you become angrier. If you're a mean-spirited person, when the trials come, you become more mean-spirited. If you're a rebellious person, when the trials come, you become more rebellious. And the trials will show, they will enlarge you and show just exactly who you are. And remember, Brother Branham said, the actions that you are here is only a reflection of where your other body is at, only showing where you're going. Now, those are pretty powerful words. But he said in 1 Corinthians, the scripture says, when this body of this tabernacle be dissolved, we have one, another one already waiting. So the life we live here is a reflection of where we're going. And that's the most important thing for us to think of. So Paul says, therefore, being justified by faith, we can have peace with God. And this peace comes through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we now stand, and we rejoice in the glory of God. And not only so, we glory in tribulations, because knowing that tribulations works patience, and patience works experience, and experience works hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. In other words, you begin to understand your trials. What's it all about? You can glory in it because you understand. And you see that God is going to work. And like Brother Bram said, in perfect weakness comes perfect strength. Therefore, in our examination of the trials and how distress is meant to produce in us or to enlarge in us what is already there, whether by the baptism of the Holy Spirit or by not being born again, we can see then that when the squeeze comes fully into effect, when the squeeze comes fully upon us, it will only bring forth in us those attributes which God has already placed in us by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, in our closing remarks last night, we began to look at the squeeze and to see what Brother Branham has said about it. And I'd like to read again this morning from his message, Look Away to Jesus, because he says, this is the only actual place where Brother Branham speaks of the squeeze. And remember this, the squeeze actually begins, I believe, by the cares of this life choking off the word, according to the scripture. The choking is a squeeze. And as that life is being choked off, there's a period of time involved. Dwayne, come here a minute. I want you to stand right here. Face that way. Okay. Now, I want to demonstrate something for you. All right? Now put your head straight ahead. Okay. Now, when is the squeeze actually beginning? Has it started yet? Huh?
You got money?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. No, not yet.
It hasn't? You don't feel anything?
A little thing, but not...
A little what?
A little touch or something.
Yeah, a little pressure?
Yeah.
Now, is the pressure getting...
Lighter, yeah.
A little tighter?
Yeah.
Is it tightening up?
Yeah, tighter, yeah.
Can you breathe?
Yeah.
You can still breathe a little bit? Yeah, you're still fine?
Yeah.
Is it getting pretty tight?
Yeah, it's getting pretty tight.
Yeah. What I want to explain to you is that so many times we look down the road, we're waiting for the big Wallapalooza. And many times it's too late by then. It's too late. The squeeze began as soon as I made contact with his throat. As soon as the cares of this life begin to pull, the life of the Word begin to be choked off. That's what the Scripture says. As it builds. Now, wasn't there a period of time from the first contact to the time that you found yourself hard to breathe? Now, we could have kept going for the illustration, but you would have turned blue. May not have appreciated too much. But the fact is, brother, sister, we are in the squeeze. And Brother Branham lets us know that there is a squeeze and then there is the tightening up. And so let's read what he says. So now, I'm going to say something to you, and let me just ask you this. Had I continued with your squeeze, what would have happened to you? Sure. You would have gone into tribulation, wouldn't you? And that's exactly what happens. The squeeze builds and it moves into tribulation. But at a certain point, God takes us out of here. Now, I remember years ago, I preached a message about 1983-84. And I said, I believe that when the squeeze comes, just as God gave the elect back in the days of the ox, He gave them a martyr spirit, so too God will give us something at that time to overcome. That's what I said. I talked to Brother Vail about that. He agreed 100%. But some made fun of the fact that I said, I believe the bride's squeeze begins with the cares of this life. What is the cares of this life? Ron. Okay. And, all right, money. What else is the cares of this life? Norma? Jobs. Okay, Don? Huh? Well, let's be more specific, though. The cares of this life. Jobs, money, what else? Huh? Okay. What else? Material things. What all do these things have in common? You've got a whole industry around health. We're talking jobs, money, material things. Economy. An economy. The economy, the people will be so caught up into the economy that the life of the Word gets choked out. Now we know, brother, sister, that the tribulation will come because of a false economy. The world is based on a false economy. The Antichrist comes in because of economy, making a pact. They have the gold, they make a pact with those that have the paper. The whole thing is based on economy, not God's economy. He said, my kingdom is not of this earth. If it were, he said, I could call 12 legions of angels. Now, you think Jesus was bluffing? That's 12,000 angels at his disposal. But we're looking at the economy. People so caught up into the economy that the life that's in the Word
is lost. Now we're going to contrast that with the third pole. Because Brother Branham says now it's been identified, it's been vindicated, it's here among you. So this morning we're going to look at what is the identity of the third pole. Why will we need it? This third pole. So we read. So now I'm going to say something to you now that I haven't said all along. And that is the thing that we have looked forward to for so long, or at least many years, 4 or 5 years or maybe longer, the third pole has now been vindicated. And I'm sure you all know what it is. I'm sure of it. Gary, what's the third pole? Ron, what's the third pole? All right, let's look at those. All right. When was the first indication of the third pole? 1957, the fish were restored. There was a restoration of life. Brother Branham said it showed that he's the resurrection and the life. Brother Branham said he made death stand still. And then he ties it in with the 5 loaves and fishes spoken that were already cooked. Sustaining life. I think he just took the fish to show that there was other fish that God used in Scripture too. When was the second? Okay, so now, first of all, we have the first one, the fishes, right? The little fish. Is there anybody that doesn't know what the story was that Brother Branham was talking about? Okay. Brother Branham went fishing with Banks Woods. And they caught a few little fish, and they used them for bait. They're going to go catch trout. And he said that this little fish come along, and Banks, the hook got caught inside the fish, so Banks pulled or tried to get the hook out, and when he did, all the guts came out. The entrails. Threw the fish back in the water. The fish just floating on the surface. About a half hour just laying there. And then he said, I could feel God's presence come out just like a wind blowing right through the reeds. And he said, speak to that fish and give its life back to it. And Brother Brandt said, I spoke. He said, little fish, I give you your life. Half hour before, Banks had said, that looks like that little fellow shot his last wad. Or shot his wad. Nothing left. And a half hour later, he said, that fish turned over, swam away. Now, why was that such a significant thing to God's prophet? He said, because it was the evidence of the resurrection. But why to an animal? What about the dead possum that was laying at his step, had come for prayer? Romans 7, I believe it is, or 8, says, all creation groans and travails, looking for the manifestation of the sons of God. In 1959, the next time the third pole came into manifestation was when Brother Branham was squirrel hunting. Now, if you read what Brother Branham said about the squirrels, he said God didn't do that just to say that he could do it. But God did it, he said, because he was out hunting and he had need of the food, something to eat. Those squirrels were spoken into existence. Now, it wasn't a matter of just proving the Creator was on the scene. Because if that was the case, God could have spoken 3 stuffed squirrels. But the fact is, he had a need. He was out hunting. He liked the taste of squirrel meat. And so God said, well, to show you that I am the God who sustains thee, say where you want them to be, and they'll be. So Brother Branham chose the first one. He said, well, it'll be right there on that fence post. And all of a sudden the thing come running down. In fact, Brother Branham said, he'll come from that direction and come. And sure enough, here he comes, right up on the post. Brother Branham shot it. Then the next one, he said, he'll be over here on this thing. He'll come out on this sycamore tree. And he said, he never finds squirrels in the sycamore tree. I think that's what tree he said it was. And he'll come from this direction over here. Well, here come one from this direction. He got close to the tree and he went back. Brogan knew it because he had to come from this direction. And sure enough, moments later, here he comes from that direction. What was significant about this? I believe that life was created to what? To sustain. Life was given to the fish in an act of restoration. Now think about it. We're looking at the identifiable attributes of the third pole. The fish was what? Restoration of life. Life restored. Now, you've got the second time. You've got the squirrel spoken into existence. For what? For what? To put on a show? To show he could do it? No. Because it was a need. Jehovah Jireh. And I can't remember which Jehovah it is that's the provider. Or that's Jehovah Jireh, but that is the sustainer. But the sustainer of life. God performed that third pole to provide and to sustain. What about the third time? What's the third time the third pole was manifesting? I'll give you a hint. Brother Branham was talking to someone about it. Huh? Hattie Wright. What happened with Hattie Wright? She could have had wealth, couldn't she? You know, she had asked for wealth because she was a very poor woman. Brother Branham said maybe she'd make $200 a year. She could have had wealth. But had she spoken for wealth, that would have thrown the continuity of the identification of the third pole completely out of kilter. No, God had ordained for this woman to speak for life. She spoke for life, the life of her two kids. So we see salvation. We see redemption. Restoration. Again, restoration. What about the fourth time? Anybody remember the fourth time? Huh? The storm. Exactly. What about that storm? What about the storm? Remember Brother Branham had a little bologna sandwich? He said the storm was so bad he couldn't find his way back. What would have happened if that storm had continued? Joe? What would have happened to Brother Branham if God hadn't intervened? Who would have died? So what did God tell him to do? He said, speak the word. What did he tell him about the fish. He said, speak the word. So here we're at the storm. We tell Hattie Wright, whatever you say. What did Jesus say to the about faith? He said, whatever, he says, if you say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt in your heart, you'll have what you ask. If you say. So you find then that when the storm was blown away, God was on the scene, restoring nature the way it ought to be. Huh? Restoring and protecting. What about the fifth time? The third pole was identified, manifested. You've been studying. Good. His wife, Hattie Wright, Meta. Remember, she had the tumor. And for 9 years before, he knew the tumor was coming. And the Lord said, say what you will. He said, before the doctor touches that tumor, it's going to disappear. Now, what if that hadn't happened? What if he hadn't asked for that? Either she would have died, or she would have been cut up bad. Because that tumor was the size of a grapefruit on her side. She couldn't bend over to tie her shoes. She had to wear loose-fitting clothes because it stuck out so bad. Again, then, we see a sustainer of life. Again, we see God restoring back life. So to me, when I hear Brother Branham speak of the third pole, remember he said the vision, he said, I was in a tent, I was up here trying to come down, there's an old man preaching down here, and there's a box over here, a room. And he said, the angel said, I'll meet you in there. Watch the resurrection in there. Brother Brown said, that was the third pole. The third pole. Watch the resurrection. What is resurrection? It's a restoration of life. Now, let's read what he says here. So now I'm going to say something to you that I haven't said all along. And that is the thing that we have looked forward to for so long, or at least many years, 4 or 5 years maybe, or longer. The third pole now has been vindicated. And I'm sure you all know what it is. Now remember, there'll never be any impersonation of that, because it can't be. Who can restore life? It cannot be. Now it's in existence. And I am warned of this, that soon, right after this time now, it just happened so it could identify its presence among you. See? But it will not be used in a great way until this council begins to tighten up. And when it does, when that does, the Pentecostals and so forth can almost impersonate anything could be done. But when that time comes, when the squeeze comes down, then you'll see what you have seen temporarily be manifested in the fullness of its power. See? Now I must continue in evangelism just as I was commissioned first. I must continue on. Therefore, you've had the word and you know what to look for and how to stand. I must continue on in evangelism, and friends of mine, keep still and just keep moving on. For the hour is approaching swiftly, see, that when something is going to be done. Now, you might see some little odd thing happen from me. Nothing sinful, I don't mean that. But I mean something odd to what the regular trend, than what the regular trend, because what I have reached to now in the ministry, I'm dropping back here. watching that spot and waiting for the time to use it. Watching what spot?
The tightening up.
But it's going to be used.
And everyone knows that for a certain, as the first was identified, so has the second been identified. And if you think real closely, you who are spiritual, as the Bible says, here's to him that has wisdom, the third is properly identified. See? We know where it is. So the third pole is here. It is so sacred that I mustn't say much about it. As he told me in the beginning, he said, this say nothing of it. You remember that years ago. It speaks for itself. See? But I've tried to explain the others and I made a mistake. This will be the first thing, to my opinion, and I don't say the Lord tells me this, but this will be the thing that will start the rapturing faith for the going away. See? Now I must lay quiet for just a little while. Now remember, and who's listening to those tapes, you might see a change in my ministry right away, dropping back. Not going up, but dropping back. We're right at the age now, and it can't go any further. We have to wait here just a minute until this happens over here to catch up. Then the time comes. So when something catches up, then the time comes. I think it's interesting because Brother Brown says we've got to wait for something to catch up. And yet before this, years before this, he said, I believe, based on the seven visions, based on the way things are going now, that by 1977, it'll usher in the millennium. Now here, he says, the time scale's off a little bit. We've got to wait for things to catch up. Isn't it interesting that in 1963, we had a pervert in the White House named John Kennedy? Isn't it interesting that this young man named Clinton stood before Kennedy, shook his hand, and that same spirit went from Kennedy to Clinton? The things they write about in the papers about Clinton, about Kennedy, there's a book out called The Dark Side of Camelot. The Dark Side of Camelot. And there's many things said by four Secret Service agents who were with Kennedy, to the point that that man had as big a sexual problem as Clinton. So there's nothing new. Only thing is, with Kennedy, we didn't lose all our freedoms. But it was the start of it, because we had a Catholic in the White House. Today, we have lost more freedoms under this administration. And the reason why it doesn't seem to bother people is because it hasn't been fully manifested yet, what we've lost. The wheels of the government turn slowly, but all the laws are in place to shut us down. And Brother Branham, as he continues, he says they're going to do that. He says, the third is properly identified. We know where it is, so the third pole is here. But it is so sacred that I must not say much about it, as he told me years ago. You remember that? It speaks for itself. This will be the thing, to my opinion, that will be the thing that will start the rapturing faith for the going away. Now, you that's listening to this tape, you might see a change in my ministry, dropping back. We're right at the age now, it can't go any further. We have to wait here just a minute until this happens over here to catch up. Then the time comes. But as thoroughly identified, there's coming a time in this nation to where this nation is going to exercise all the power that the beast had before, which was pagan Rome, when it became papal Rome. See? That this nation will do that. Revelation 13 plainly explains it. The Lamb came up out of the earth. The other beast came up out of the water, sickness, and multitude of people. This Lamb came up where there was no people. The Lamb represents religion, the Lamb of God. And remember, it spoke like a lamb. It was a lamb. And then after a while, it received power and spoke like a dragon and exercised all the power of the dragon, the power that the dragon had before him. And the dragon is Rome. It always is. So don't you see Roman denomination, a marked Protestant denomination, an image unto the beast, making a power that will force all Protestants like a union. You'll have to be in this council of churches or you won't be able to have fellowship. Well, it's practically that way now. Now, what's he saying? He's talking about this nation, and he's talking about exercising the power of Rome. Now, in another message, in fact, later on in this message, I don't have the quote with me, it's in my computer. I've got it in the back. If you'd like me to come out, I can go up to get it for you. But Brother Branham talked to the people. He said, it will be the government that will force the churches together. He said, you watch what took place in Missouri just recently. Now, what I'm going to have to do is do a little history searching to see what was that took place in Missouri a few months before Brother Branham spoke this. But he said, it's the government that will bring the unionization of the churches, bring them together. And then, he says, we'll be excluded. Now he goes here, he says, so don't you see Roman denomination, a marked Protestant denomination, an image unto the beast, making a power that'll force all Protestants like a union? You'll have to be into this council of churches or you won't be able to have fellowship. Well, it's practically that way now. You can't go to church and preach unless you have a fellowship card or some identification. And now, on a person like ourselves, we're going to be cut out of that altogether. That's exactly because they won't be able to do it. It's tightening. And then when that time comes, and the press comes to a place to where you're pressed out, then watch. What I'm fixing to tell you in a few minutes, watch the third poll then. It'll be absolutely to the totally lost. But it will be for the bride and the church. Now we're closer than it seems to be. I don't know when, but it's real, real close. I may be building a platform for someone else to step on. I may be taken before that time. I don't know. And that time may be coming this week when the Holy Spirit will come and bring Jesus Christ. He may come this next week. He may come yet tonight. I don't know when He will come. He doesn't tell us that. But I do believe that we are so close that I would never die of old age. Yet at 54 years old, I'd never die with old age until He's here. See, unless I'm shot, killed, or something or other, some way killed, just old age wouldn't kill me until He come. And I believe that. And I want to say this. I have never said it before, but according to the Scripture, according to what He said 33 years ago on the river, down there in 1933 rather, that He said, everything has happened just exactly. And I may not do it, but this message will introduce Jesus Christ to the world. For as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming, so is the message to forerun the second coming. And John said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. See, so it paralleled it in every way, and I know it will. The message will go on. Now, Brother Ram told us to stand still. He said, just like Paul said, when you've done all you can do to stand, then you've got to come to where you stand. What happened to Paul? Anybody want to take a step? What happened to Paul? Rome. Paul was taken to Rome. My brother Bram said, when the squeeze comes down, then you'll see what you have seen temporarily being made manifest in the fullness of His power. Now I must continue in evangelism just as I was commissioned first. I must continue on. Therefore, you've had the word and you know what to look for, how to stand. I must continue on evangelism, and friends of mine, keep still and just keep moving on, for the hour is approaching swiftly that when something is going to be done. Then Brother Rand tells us how the third pole will come fully into use. He says, but it's going to be used. And what about the token? Is the token any good if it's not applied? It has to be used. What about the third pole? What is it? It is the Word of God being spoken, restoring life. It has to do with life, and it has to do with the Word of God being spoken. That's why He says, watch the resurrection in there. Now, but it's going to be used, and everyone knows that for certain. As the first was identified, so has the second been identified. And if you think real closely, you are spiritual, as the Bible said, here's to him that has wisdom. The third is properly identified, see?
We know where it is, so the third pole is here. It is so sacred that I mustn't say anything about it. As it told me in the beginning, said, this say nothing about. You remember that years ago, it speaks for itself. See? But I tried to explain to the others and I made a mistake. This will be the thing, to my opinion, this will be the thing that will start the rapturing faith for the going away. Now, I said it's been identified in the Scripture. What was Moses' first sign? First pole. Come on. Moses had three poles. I'll give you a hint. The second one was his hand. A sign in his hand. The staff, the serpent, was the first one. What was Moses' third pole? No. That's when God gave him the three poles. Huh? No. Huh? No. When they came to the water, God said, why cry to me? Speak. And when Moses spoke, the authority of the Word of God took a hold of creation and fashioned and formed and moved creation. And the water separated. When Moses spoke to the rock, water came out to do what? To sustain life. Why did the creation move out of the way? The waters move out of the way. To preserve life. Noah had three poles. And Brother Brown said his third was to the lost after the doors were shut. For God let him set right there where no one could enter or go out. In the days of Lot, Brother Brown said, the first pole was to the righteous Lot. The second pole was two messengers to Sodom. And the third pole, what was he? What kind of ministry did he have? He sat with the elected and told them what was happening behind them. And what did he do? He brought forth a promise. And he brought forth assurance of that promise. And what was the promise? Life. When did he discern? When he said, Sarah laughed when I was telling you that you'll have a child. When I told you that life would come forth, she laughed. From souls in prison, Brother Branham said, and notice when the third pole of his ministry comes, speaking about Jesus. He said the first was healing the sick, the second was rebuking their organization and prophesying what they had done, what they were, and what was coming. In other words, discerning the very thoughts and intents of their hearts. What is, what will come? What was, what is, and will come? That's what he done. Is that right? But his third pole was when he preached to the lost that couldn't be saved no more. They were down there with them big painted eyes, and he preached to the souls in hell that did not accept mercy but were eternally separated from the presence of God, yet they had to recognize what he was because God made him there. Wonder if his ministry climbs out the same way in the last days as it was. As the Father sent me, so send I you. The works that I do, you also. Let's turn back to Hebrews. Chapter 10. Chapter 12. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are not that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Also chapter 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ. Before we go on, let me ask this question. There's only two things that can perfect the bride. What are they? In what form? The scripture speaks of being perfected by the blood. And there's one other, as the scripture talks of perfection coming through this vehicle. Ephesians 4. The fivefold ministry. Now, isn't it strange that God would use the fivefold ministry to bring perfection? And yet there's many in this message who don't want a fivefold ministry. They want the tapes and the tapes only. And many of those claim Brother Branham's coming back, but they rejected the one who he introduced us to. Brother Branham said when this third fold comes, it'll be to the totally lost. Now, Moses' third fold, remember what it was a couple minutes ago? You're not all over 40. What was it? At the sea, right? Now, what did he do? He spoke the word, and what happened? The waters parted, right? And what happened? Who was it for? It's for the elect. Who was it to? The Egyptian soldiers. And what happened? Life was preserved on one hand and death was given on the other hand. Jesus, when he visited the souls in prison, he descended into hell and he preached to the totally lost. Brother Bram said that was his third pull. To the totally lost. But it was for those saints which are quickened. Because remember when Jesus laid on the cross and he gave up the ghost and he cried out with a loud voice, the Bible says that the graves were rent and many of the bodies of the saints which slept arose. Comma. Then it says, and came out of their graves after his resurrection. So something took place where they were quickened, those spirits. He went down and gathered together the saints. And he preached to the totally lost in the grave. He preached to the totally lost, but he brought out. He restored in a resurrection. Hallelujah. Those saints. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see that day approaching. For if we sin willfully, if we disbelieve willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. What is it all about? I believe, brother, sister, there's a need for all of us to become more dedicated, consecrated, getting our house in order, you remember Hezekiah was given 15 years to get his house in order? What happened? What happened to his house? Did he get in order? No. How much time do we have before we're going home? Well, Brother Bram looks for it every day. I believe between now and 2000, we're going to go home. The elect of God. And I believe it could be very soon. Less than a year. The whole world is in an iniquitous situation. The cup of iniquity is full. What worse could you have than public disclosure of homosexual acts right in the White House? The homosexuals running the government, a president who's blackmailed by the Chinese communists. Wonder what kind of photos they got of him and who they sent to his Oval Office. Or as they say, his Oval Orifice. The world is in a Sodom perverted condition. That which has been under the table is already on top of the table. It's being publicly talked about. And yet the people don't care. The people are so filled with bread that they don't care. And it's not the bread of life. It's the bread that after they ate it, it turned to worms in their mouth and decay. We're going home very soon. Dedicate yourselves to it. Get yourselves ready. As they said in Egypt, in Goshen, they said, get yourselves shod. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Know who it is who's here. Why he's here. And be prepared to move out. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear Father, we humbly, Lord, would ask that you would forgive us, Father, of all our unbelief and all the iniquity that would lay within these mortal members of this flesh. And we would ask, Father, that you would purge us with hyssop, with the blood of your Son. And where the fashions or the trends or there be any desire for the world or the things of the world, we pray that you would purge it from us and help us to be focused as we've never been before. Help us to see the handwriting on the wall. Help us to take all these things which are occurring daily in the papers and take them back to the message, back to your word. And to see that it is over. This nation has blasphemed your very presence. They have put your word out of the schools, out of the church, out of its government. And there's nothing left but destruction. And wrath. But Father, we just commit ourselves to going home. That's the only thing left for us. Why would we want to stay when the nation will be doomed? when Russia still has its bombs. And recently, in cross-examination of some of their high-level defectors, they've warned us that those bombs are still pointed at America. And yet this nation sleeps and slumbers. We have a White House administration that is bent on the destruction of America, entering into pacts with communism, with China, giving away our top secrets so that they can make their nuclear bombs reach our shores. And we had a word of prophecy that said that Russia, not communism, but Russia will destroy America with her bombs. Nations are breaking. Israel's awakened. The signs that the prophets foretold. The Gentile days numbered, with horrors encumbered. Return, O Jesus.